On today's podcast, I'm going to speak to you about real Christian masculinity. This is part three. We are going to look at some quotes about having a vision for your life. And we're going to speak about the effeminate men that has gained in so much popularity in today, but is not God's way. Greetings. Thank you for tuning in to listen to Equipping the Bride podcast. I'm Brother Jason DeMars from Beaufort, South Carolina, a minister at Bethel Tabernacle. New episodes of this podcast are posted every Friday. You can watch this podcast on YouTube and listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. If you have any questions, testimonies, or prayer requests, please let me know at jasondemars.com. I also have free books and tracts available at my website, and shipping is free as well. May the Lord richly bless you. Welcome to today's podcast. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening in. If you're listening in on Apple Podcasts, I want to encourage you, please rate the podcast. Just take a few minutes to give us the star rating. We still have 12 ratings. They're all 5 out of 5. Please give us your rating, what you think of the podcast, a real honest review. We'll just take a few moments to do, and it helps us with all the algorithms, and love to get your feedback as well. As I state in the intro and the outro, every time, any questions, prayer requests, or testimonies, please let us know. We definitely take that seriously and want to spend time answering that. Thank you for all the positive feedback that I've been getting. Certainly getting that while we're traveling, hearing the feedback of how much people appreciate it, and also by email and through YouTube, all these different means, and I appreciate that. Also want to thank our new subscribers for the podcast. And that's the people that have gone on to our Buzzsprout link that's either below or above this video, or to the side, I guess it could be. But thank you for supporting on a monthly basis. Really appreciate you standing with me and helping me continue to do this and to teach the message and to use this as a means of outreach. There's been a lot of new feedback on my video on why the Trinity of Persons is false, and I want to get to that at some point in time here, but not on this one. Continue to remember us in prayer. I'm going to try to record a few episodes beforehand, but we'll be doing some traveling here the last half of January in 2024. I want to wish everyone Happy New Year. This is our first episode of the new year, and we're going to continue with this, doing it on a weekly basis, Lord willing. Hopefully, we'll have the Godhead book done with an edit here shortly, within the next, hopefully, few days. Once that done, then we'll get it in and get it formatted and get it printed there through Amazon, and it'll be available on Amazon. You can pay for it, or you can go to the website jasondemars.com, and you'll be able to order that for free, and shipping is free as well, as long as the Lord provides for us. Also, as I mentioned before, I finished a book on the serpent seed. It'll be more of a booklet than anything, and we're putting that through the first round of edits, and then we'll send it on to Brother to edit it, and we'll get that as well out for printing. That'll probably be in the early spring that we'll get that out. And in the next few days, I'm going to start doing some writing and hope to stick with that and continue that. And by summertime, have a book out on God's order, courtship, and the order for the family, I mean. And something that's been on my heart greatly, and I want to strike while the iron is hot. Amen. God bless you. I'm Jason DeMars, apostle and teacher. You can contact me at jasondemars.com. All the materials are available there. Get in contact with me there as well. God bless you. All right, let's go to our topic, real Christian masculinity. This is part three, and I'm hoping that I'll finish it up this time. And my desire is to start to go into some courtship moving forward. At some point in time, I'm going to revisit my topic, what is the message, looking at all the scriptures that are fulfilled in this day. Also want to spend some time looking at the cloud that appeared in 1963 and showing how that, in fact, was most definitely a supernatural cloud. But we'll be getting to that as the year goes along. All right, my scripture, my topic, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So it's very critical, it's very important, especially in our day where feminism has given rise to the effeminate man. Women have been taught to resent men. And so men in this environment, and so, you know, we have women resenting men, and we have this situation where women are wanting to control men. And so what men are now trained to do in the world is to become effeminate. They are under the control of a woman. We have this terminology, and this rude terminology is what they call a simp. It's in a slang term for someone who shows excessive sympathy and attention toward another person. A silly or a foolish person. They're pursuing affection from someone who doesn't have affection for them, and they're continuously doing this, and in this process, and we have this absolute sad and pathetic condition in the world today. That this is what men are encouraged to be, and women, they empower themselves, or they think they empower themselves by exposing their bodies and being sluts, and then men are pursuing the women who do that, and they're sort of this lordly object of worship, in a sense. And it's sick and it's disgusting. And men should be men. God designed men to be leaders, not to be followers of women. And the thing is when women control men and manipulate men, what ends up happening is the women don't respect them. They don't respect those men who are under their thumb. See, women who... when men abdicate leadership, women will fill it, but they'll do it with resentment and scorn. That's what we're living in, an effeminate age. I came across 33 Proverbs written by someone I enjoy reading, a Foundation Father. And he writes there on X, to be an effeminate man is to be an evil man. All men have some effeminacy to root out, but how do you recognize it in yourself? Now, I want to talk about that. To be effeminate is to be evil. We think that's crazy because someone who's effeminate is trying to be nice constantly. They're trying to be kind and giving and caring. But the truth is, when a man becomes effeminate, he is committing a sin against the Lord because God didn't make him to be effeminate. So let's look at masculine traits and contrast them with these 33 Proverbs by Foundation Father. The masculine man embraces responsibility. The effeminate man blames others. The masculine man loves his wife. The effeminate man is jealous of his wife. The masculine man does great work. This is number three. The masculine man does great work no matter how he feels. The effeminate man creates excuses. The masculine man is disciplined. The effeminate man hopes he gets lucky. The masculine man is competitive. The effeminate man pretends he doesn't care. The masculine man tells his children the truth. The effeminate man treats his children's feelings as more important than the truth. The masculine man does not let his left hand know what his right hand is doing. The effeminate man parades his righteousness. The masculine man understands masculine style. The effeminate man is pretty. The masculine man asks, "How can I improve this situation?" The effeminate man asks, "What about me?" The masculine man does. The effeminate man talks. The masculine man is humble. The effeminate man is insecure. The masculine man is intentional. The effeminate man always chooses the default. The masculine man respects the strength of other men. The effeminate man is afraid of it. The masculine man confronts. The effeminate man gossips. The masculine man takes his life seriously, but never himself. The effeminate man takes only himself seriously. The masculine man has responsibility thrust upon him, or he seeks it out. The effeminate man waits and waits and waits and waits, then he whines. The effeminate man takes pride in his principles. The masculine man takes pride in his actions. The masculine man is not afraid to fail to meet a high standard. The effeminate man ridicules the standard. The masculine man waits with patience. The effeminate man waits with timidity. The masculine man controls his own feelings. The effeminate man is controlled by his feelings. The masculine man is resilient. The effeminate man complains. The masculine man pays attention to everyone around him. The effeminate man makes sure everyone around him is paying attention. The masculine man shifts his priorities. The effeminate man complains about not having enough time. The masculine man controls his internal self, no matter his internal, external circumstances. The effeminate man is defined by his external circumstances. The masculine man fights because he loves people. The effeminate man fights because he loves to fight. The masculine man trusts himself with power because he's humble. The effeminate trusts no one with power because he doesn't trust himself. The masculine man is silent and listens. The effeminate man is silent and seething. The masculine man is modest. The effeminate man is flamboyant. The masculine man controls his own feelings. The effeminate man tries to control the feelings of others. The masculine man seeks out adventure. The effeminate man seeks out certainty before making a decision. The masculine man does the work. The effeminate man lets masculine men do all the work. The masculine man admits his mistakes. The effeminate man proclaims his excuses. The masculine man understands hierarchy and submission. He will gladly submit to a competent leader. The effeminate man always rails against authority. He secretly thinks he should be the leader, but never takes more responsibility. He always undermines those above him. Bonus. The masculine man roots out his effeminacy, burns it with fire, and repents. The effeminate man is proud of his effeminacy. He displays it like a trophy. What a sad place and a sad condition. Now I want to start talking about this man of vision. Now, number one is, a masculine man understands that he is under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so that when he leads, he is a steward of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Real manly men, Brother Branham says, a man is not measured by the size of his muscles, but by the bags in his pants from the time that he spent in prayer. A real manly man, that's not the only thing, of course, but that's the starting definition, is a real manly man seeks his Father in heaven first, and he lets his Father in heaven define what it means to be a man. And he lets his Father in heaven lead him in the path that he personally knows that he must go in. Now, there's some things that we know by Scripture that we must be doing, and that there isn't a question about it. We don't have to ask God about it. We do it. Providing for our families, leading our homes in worship, bringing our family to church, ministering the gospel to our children. Making love to our wives. See, the Bible says, don't deprive one another, right? Unless it be by season for the purpose of fasting, but then come back together. So again, so that you don't burn. See, the Bible's clear about certain things, is you love your wife. You don't have to pray about loving your wife. You love your neighbor as yourself. You live unselfishly. See, these things you don't need to ask God about now, but then there's particular things that God leads you in, where you're going to live, what job you're going to do, what young man to accept and give to your daughter, give your daughter to, I should say, is the right way to say it. These things we pray and seek the mind of the Lord on, but we understand that we are the one responsible. We have to go to God in prayer and have a vision for our lives and move forward with it. No father is going to want to give his daughter to a man that doesn't know what he wants to do, doesn't know what direction he wants to take in life, and is just being carried along by the stream of life. No. Let's look at what Brother Branham says in a few different quotes. Doors in Door, 1965, some time ago. I read a story of the days of one of the greatest presidents I think the nation ever had was Lincoln. Not because he'd come from Kentucky, but because he was a great man. He was deprived of an education, but yet he was something in his heart, some purpose, like a man of vision. I like people that's got something they're fighting for, not just lay around. Well, ever what comes along will be all right. Oh, be up and at it. And Lincoln never let his education stand in the way. He had something to do. I think every Christian ought to be that way. Find your purpose and go do it. Every member of this chapter, speaking of the Full Gospel Businessmen, just not, well, we have a breakfast once a month. That isn't it. Or once every Saturday. Have a purpose in life, something you're going to do. God has placed you here. Do something about it. Every member of every church. There was a revival in town. That revival is there for a purpose. Let's get something out of it. Let's do something about it. Find out what you're supposed to do and go do it. Young men, find out what you're supposed to do and go do it. Parents, teach young men to have a vision for their life. As the Eagle Stirs Up Her Nest, in 1957. Brother Branham says, when I hear of a church that hasn't got any ambition to grow, there's something wrong with that church. The Church of the Living God has a high ambition. And another thing, the Church of the Living God is built high because it's got high anticipation and expectation. Say, well, we belong to the church. Our father served in this church years ago. That might be fine, but the Church of the Living God can't sit still. Its ambitions is to go higher, farther. We see the blind healed today. We're watching tomorrow for the dead to be raised. When we see nature obey his voice, we're looking then for the coming of Christ. Its ambitions is high. Its anticipations is high. Its expectations is high. It's built high. It's set up as a memorial. The Christian at his work is set on a hill. His ambitions is high to win his boss or somebody else to Christ. That's right. His expectations is high somewhere that God will give him a chance to speak to somebody. God wants men, manly men, with high ambitions, high expectations, with a vision of what they're supposed to do, and that he goes and does it. He's not waiting for someone else to make it happen. He knows that he must, under the leadership of the Lord, go make it happen. In A Prisoner, 1963, Brother Branham says, but before I say about Moses, I'd like to make this statement that God always has to take any man that will serve him truly to be his prisoner. A man has to surrender every ambition he's got, everything that he is, everything, his life, soul, body, will, ambitions, and everything else, and become a prisoner to Christ, who is the Word, to serve God. Again, perfectly in line with what I'm trying to tell you is, first you go to the Father, you get those bags in your knees, seeking his will about what you're supposed to do, then you go and do it. You first become a prisoner, find out what he wants done, and go do it. That is the definition of a man, right? We talked about it before, and we went through it before, but I think it bears record. A man is strong. He has strength in body, soul, and spirit. You say, well, I'm small, I'm weak. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay in a condition of weakness. Maybe you've grown up and you're a kid, a young person that wants to spend time inside. You've spent so much time inside. Get outside, learn to get some projects. Do something with your body. Lift, at the very least, lift weights. I encourage young men, you want to learn how to take care of a home? Well, if you're a young man, you're working, save up your money and buy a beat-up home. Buy a home that's falling apart and spend your time on the evenings and on the weekends working with your hands to make that a nice home. Maybe you'll get married and maybe you'll move into it. Maybe you won't and you sell it and make a nice profit for your work. See, as men, we can always have these kinds of side projects. It will teach us to be strong. It'll teach us to be tough. It'll teach us to be resilient. Now, you say, what does that have to do with being godly? Well, God has made us to be strong. And we have to exercise that strength. We have to exercise spiritual strength. It takes discipline to exercise spiritual strength. How do you exercise spiritual strength? Daily. Build daily habits of reading the Word, praying, having quiet time, listening to the message, sitting quietly. We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How many of us spend an hour of prayer in the morning? Sad to say, probably very few. Proverbs 24:5 says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. He increases bodily, spiritual, and soul strength. If you're wise, you're strong. Keep your body strong. As we get older, you start to deteriorate. Just the other night, we were helping someone move. I started out strong. But as we moved and man, my back got weaker. My arms got weaker, and I've been sore for days. The younger men in their 20s started working. My goodness, they kept going all night. Sure, they got sore too, but it took a lot longer. But that's why I'm going to work out. That's why I'm lifting weights. That's why I'm trying to. That's why I'm striving to be strong. God wants to keep us strong. If we don't exercise that strength, whether it be spiritual or physical, our level of strength starts to go down. We don't want that. The glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is the gray head. But a wise man is strong, whether he's young or old. See, if you're wise, so the beauty of old men is his gray head. It's not just merely speaking of a gray head. It's speaking of the wisdom that comes from having a gray head. So if you're wise, you stay strong. Keep moving, working your body. If you're 50, 60, 70, and you feel yourself getting weak, we don't have to be jellyfish. We don't have to get fatter and fatter. Exercise your body. Especially ministers, we get in this position where we spend a lot of time sitting. And if you're a pastor, you might spend a lot of time in a vehicle or in an airplane, and we don't move our bodies, and we get fat and we get weak. God's not intending us to be that way. We have to take steps to make sure we're moving our body, lifting weights, working out. God wants us strong, standing in the pulpit for many years to come. Whether you do that well when you get older or whether you do that poorly has much to do with what you do now to build strong habits, to eat healthier. Not just eat everything, fried food and all that things that comes in front of you, but to eat, well, we won't get into what you should eat, but eat healthy, whatever you think that might be, eat healthy. But I encourage men to eat meat, eat red meat. That's the highest concentration of nutrients in it is red meat. And especially if it's grass-fed, it's not what the world tells you that it is, that it's dangerous, it's unhealthy. Sugar is dangerous and unhealthy. Fried foods fried in seed oil is dangerous and unhealthy. I don't want to get sidetracked by that too much. But again and again, we're told men are to be strong. Act like men, which means act with strength. Men are to live an honorable life. Honorable speaks of having respect or high estimation because of your words and actions. You behave in a godly way regardless of whether others think it should be done. You speak the truth. You're honest. You have a good reputation because you're always honest. You don't overestimate what you can and can't do. Many people end up telling lies because they think I can do this and I can do this and I can do this, and they end up not doing it, and people take their word and value their word very low. If you're a manly man, when you speak something, that is it. Your word is your bond. Proverbs 8:7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. God wants us to speak the truth no matter what, no matter how hard it is. Now we speak the truth in love, with a heart of motivation of love. We don't just blab out, and that's the other part of it is we don't gossip. We don't speak behind other people's backs. As man, that's a sissy approach. To go and talk behind someone's back. If you have a problem with someone, be a man and speak to them face to face. Don't gossip behind their back. A manly man is hardworking. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing of God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. A manly man is a giver, and he doesn't do it to be seen. He does it to be a blessing, to show the love of Christ. God says, don't steal, work with your hands, work hard, work heartily as to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. That's where the term mind your own business comes from. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have a lack of nothing. All right. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There's an aspect of being a man where anger, rightly applied and balanced by wisdom and ultimately love, helps us to be the means of God's correction. Anger should come when we see God's word or women or children or the weaker or the vulnerable preyed upon. Anger leads to confrontation. It's not bad to be angry, but let it be righteous anger, not the anger of men. James 1:20 says, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God, but the wrath of God, the anger of God, works the righteousness of God. So true godly anger comes when the depths of God's word has been violated and you have a zeal for the truth. You understand, though it's not all up to you to fix everything, though it may be up to you to confront the error. If true manly men don't confront errors, even in their pastor, in their leaders, elders in the church, in the ministry team in their church, they are doing themselves and they're doing the church a disfavor. Manly men confront with love. You can be angry and not sin. The next steps after zealous anger comes are important because the true zeal for God will lead you to follow God's word. It won't lead you outside of God's word. The problem is we've gotten into such a sissified version of the gospel where we can't confront each other, and we've exalted kindness above truth. And a true man of God now he's just kind. He's sweet and nice. But a true man of God, when he sees evil being done, he becomes angry against that, but then he sins not because his anger is rightly divided, rightly apportioned. It's not perverted by the devil into screaming, shouting, angry fits, fighting, punching, becoming harsh, rude, talking down to people. No. When the confrontation takes place, it's done with love and patience. See? But without anger, that anger that rises up against unrighteousness, that is something that's from God. The next step is when sin or righteousness happens. A true godly man is courageous. A true godly man is not harsh. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Don't be tyrannical in your leadership. Don't speak with harshness and hardness. Be tender-hearted, but lead. Sometimes you have to say, no, this is wrong. No, you can't do that. A true godly man is a provider. He's told to labor with his own hands and provide for his own. He's told to sacrifice himself for the safety and comfort and spiritual growth of his wife. A man, the true gentleman. Does it matter what position he is? He opens the doors for ladies and children. He's considerate of others. He's polite. He's gracious. He's proper. He doesn't expose himself to being in a position where he is in a compromised place, where he goes into a private room with a woman that's not his wife or daughter. We're all in different positions in life, but we're all called to be real men, godly character, and a true Christian gentleman. Major foundation of leadership and manliness is character. Without character, leadership becomes satanic. True godly leadership has character. In other words, it has the nature, the fruit of the Spirit in it: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen. When I look at all of these things, generosity, charisma. Charisma means that you think about others more than you think about yourself. That's what real charisma and leadership is. A godly man is consistent. The Bible says to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. True manliness is correctable, teachable. Pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. You're able to be taught and corrected and quick to repent. Again, the foundation of leadership is knowing who your God is, knowing who your Father is, knowing His voice, following His leadership, and implementing that in your family, in your work, in your church, in your life. And you're not afraid to stand up against what is wrong, but you do it with character and as a gentleman. Amen. Well, God bless you. I think this concludes our time of looking at real Christian masculinity. I thank you for listening in. I appreciate your feedback. Please let me know. I appreciate your support. If you want to do that, you can go to Buzzsprout, the link that's connected to this podcast. You can go there, click the link, and you can support this on a monthly basis for anywhere from $3 to $10. I would really appreciate that. If you listen to this and appreciate it, please give us a comment, give us a like, give us a share. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Equipping the Bride podcast. New episodes are posted every Friday. I want to remind you that if you have any questions, testimonies, or prayer requests, please let me know at jasondemars.com. I also have free books and tracks available at my website, and shipping is free as well. Please, I ask you to remember the believers and the missions work in the Middle East in prayer. May the Lord richly bless you.